Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. And you are listening to the Nerdcast. But what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
Welcome, everybody, to the Nerdcast episode 143 with Adam, Tyler, and myself, Piggy here.
What up, homie?
No, what's up from Tyler?
I didn't unmute myself. Hello. What
is that? That was.
How are you today, sir?
That was a super exhilarating opening.
We're off to a roaring start. Yes, just hot right out of the gate right now.
But hey, I am excited.
No, stop. It doesn't. Adam, did you go see that fucking movie yet?
Yeah, I almost went and saw it twice, but I've definitely seen it once. I had a very successful date night. If anybody's interested, we talked about it last week when I had a lovely dinner with the wife. Smuggled some snacks in after dinner to the movie theater to watch movies. I mean, everybody knows. Everybody does this, right? Because you can go to Walgreens and get the theater box candy. It's actually bigger boxes than you can buy at the theater these days for like three for a dollar.
Yeah, but you can't.
$4 or something like that now.
It's really hard to smuggle in popcorn with that really good fake butter on it. That's all I need.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I buy the popcorn. But you need it. Like, my deal has a popcorn, large popcorn, large Coke, which if you work it out right, you can get in, eat the popcorn through to the last preview. Hope that you've seen that preview before and go refill your popcorn so you have more popcorn for the rest of the week. You get the free refill on the large popcorns.
That's a lot of fucking popcorn, man.
Dude, my wife and I do work. Don't judge
okay.
us.
All right.
So theater strategy there, but we're talking about Blade Runner 2049, of course, because if you remember last week, Tyler and myself had seen it, and Adam, the Blade Runner fan of Blade Runner fans, didn't see it.
Whoa.
I take that away from Tyler there. Sorry.
Let's be clear. The poster is right there. You can see it. It's right behind me. Second of all, I had already seen it twice by the time we recorded last week. So
it's very true. It's very
calm
true.
The fuck down.
So anyways, so we will have some spoilers now that we are a week plus out. We'll get to that later in the episode. So the rest of you that haven't seen it can enjoy some other things going on. But we do have a lot going on this week, and we'll start with some fantasy movie league. And I want to start there just mainly because who gets trash talked for like weeks upon weeks and is now in second place and beating both of y'all over halfway through the season? I'm just asking.
This is your, okay. I mean, you've been really bad for a really long time at this game. So even
I'm like the Houston Astros. I was just drafting at the beginning of the draft till I built a good, you know, my own team out of my own farm system. And now we're working ourselves up the ranks.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Well, I've been doing pretty well. So moved into second place ahead of both of you guys. Aaron, he's still destroying us.
Yeah, that guy's good.
He's got $551 million on the season to my second place, $510 million, which Adam's right behind me at $498 million. But Tyler, $424 million. This is not your season, man.
I have lost my touch. I have gotten burned on a lot of movies this season. It's upsetting. But I don't know. We'll figure it out. I need to figure out Aaron's magic because he's figured something out.
Yeah. So this week you bet on Happy Death Day, which the rest of us, the other three of us, didn't. And it looks like The Foreigner was the biggest payoff, which Aaron went with almost, I think, six of his eight screens. So that's why he got the big hit there. And Foreigner helped push me ahead of Adam's three-time Blade Runner screen, three Blade Runner screens. So it was The Foreigner that did the trick. This week, I almost debated, like, do I ride that pony again next week? But I was like, no, it won't work. It won't work a second week. But,
yeah, I don't remember the like premiere movie or the best value movie ever being the same movie 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, so that's why
it happened before, but it was like a long time ago.
But anyways, it's funny because Happy Death Day did, I mean, $26 million over the weekend. Easily won the weekend at the box office with Blade Runner coming in second at 15 million. But The Foreigner did. I didn't expect it to happen. Jackie Chan is back with a $13 million opening weekend. So people were excited to see Chan back in action, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Looking back at it, I talked it up last weekend in hopes that you guys would both buy it on Happy Death Day, but I didn't really think it was going to have a huge, huge weekend at the box office. I'm actually surprised that it did end up winning. So good on you. More horror movies winning weekends. I like that as a horror fan. And I'm surprised by The Foreigner. I didn't think there are enough people who remember those old Jackie Chan movies to get back out there, but apparently people were looking for it.
Here's the big question.
I was going to say it only has a 58% on Rotten Tomatoes, about a 7.5 on IMDb, and Ebert gave it, Roger Ebert's website gave it a 1 out of 4. Not favorable in terms of reviews, but yeah, people bid on it opening weekend, that's for sure.
I don't know. I haven't talked to, I don't know anyone who's seen it. I don't know of anyone who's gone and seen a movie this week that also wasn't Blade Runner. Like, I know a lot of people who finally just saw it this last weekend. So I don't know. I think the real big question right now though is Geostorm going to make a lot of money, or is Geostorm going to make all the money?
That's what I was looking forward to. It's finally Geostorm weekend, guys. It is Geostorm weekend, and I couldn't be more excited. I will be checking it out this weekend thanks to MoviePass. But Geostorm, I think it's going to bomb. It's going to tank horribly. I don't think anybody is truly actually interested in that movie. I may be the only ticket sell it gets.
Oh, I'm really interested to hear your report of how full your theater is. And if you could get there early to see how many people come out from the screening before you, that would be really good. And I want to know how many people are like, wait, if there's anybody waiting to go into the theater when you leave.
I'm going to go on Sunday night, and there's probably going to be a line to wait to get in because it's going to have been so full from the screening before that they had to clean it out late. They're going to probably have these bookend to bookend because they got to get crammed in so many showings this weekend because those theaters are going to be packed. I mean, Gerard Butler, who else do we have in this? I don't even remember the amazing cast. I know
Andy Garcia.
That's right. Andy Garcia.
Oh, the kid from 21. Why can't I think of his name? British guy. Jim. No. Crud. Come on, Tyler.
What are we talking about?
The cast of Geostorm.
The amazing cast.
It's Gerard Butler and...
Yeah, we've all blanked. We've talked about it the last 3 weeks in a row, and we're all blanked.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't... Is there actually other good people in it?
Yeah, there was like three or four, like...
I don't believe
you. Well-known actors.
Look it up, man. I'm telling you.
I'm looking it up right now, and I... Okay. I feel like based on how far down the list, like not big roles. So like Gerard Butler and Andy Garcia, obviously, are big in the trailer. And after that, Richard Schiff is apparently in it. Ed Harris is apparently in it. And Jim Sturgess and Abby Cornish. But, I mean, outside of Gerard Butler, I mean, Ed Harris is a big deal. And Andy Garcia is like those two.
I feel like at some point an attack needs to come over. It may be not appropriate considering what's happened to Houston recently, but something needs to happen to where Ed Harris or somebody says to him, Houston, we have a problem, and he has to reply to that. I feel like a good nod to Apollo 13 might be this movie's only saving grace, and I know it's stretched, so it's probably not going to happen.
Somehow I doubt that.
So I mean, what's our bets on the take this weekend for Geostorm? Not who's going to win the weekend, but what is Geostorm going to make over the three-day haul? What do we think?
I don't know, 12 million.
You don't think it's going to break 100 million this weekend?
I would be surprised if it breaks 15 million.
I'd be surprised if it breaks 10. I just don't see it, man. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody, zero people that either, you know, I actually, other than us, haven't talked to anybody that knows this movie's coming out, and definitely nobody who's been like, man, have you seen this? I'm excited about this movie.
The trailers, the advertising's everywhere. The advertising's everywhere. Watching the baseball playoffs these past week, Geostorm trailers constantly. Going to Blade Runner, going to other movies, Geostorm trailers ahead of it all. So they're marketing it.
Yeah, I think the only reason anyone I know knows about this movie is because it was a trailer in front of Blade Runner both times I saw it. And
right, but do they know about it? Or was it just
we just all sat there
just like wash over them and they're just it's just gone.
No, we just all sat there and made fun of it. We're like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is terrible. So yeah, I don't know anyone who plans on seeing it. So
now key note for this movie, there were no advanced screening for the press. So that's always a fantastic sign.
Right. When you do that and have a late push on your marketing, that means you're expecting really, really good things, let me tell you.
So the question I have is, because this is like 3 or 4 in a row now, maybe more than that, but does Gerard Butler just not care anymore, or does no one offer him anything good anymore? Because he did 2 of the Fallen movies, Olympus and London, and this, and I'm sure there's plenty of other really bad ones in his closet, but like, remember when he was kind of like, oh, he did that Gods of Egypt or whatever. Like, there was a time when he was like a
movie. That was not a good movie.
He was an it guy. He was an up and coming guy. And I know he made a couple of flops, but like, does he just want the paycheck and doesn't give a shit anymore? Or does no one just offer him anything that's not?
Well, first of all, in the mix of all that, you have to remember he's also doing the How to Train Your Dragon movies. He's doing a voice in that. So significant there. But no, actually, that's what you just listed when I'm looking at his IMDb page outside of How to Train Your Dragon is pretty much his stretch over the past like 4 or 5 years. So you might be onto something here, Tyler.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, there's been some, don't get me wrong, he's made some really bad movies and he made some really poorly crafted, like, romantic comedy kind of stuff. But I mean, what happened to the guy that did, you know, Phantom of the Opera and 300 and
Rock and Rolla?
And yeah, Rock and Rolla is not very good.
What?
It is. And Adam,
back me up on this. Adam, back me up.
Come on. That's a good movie.
Yeah, it's not that good. Law Abiding Citizen. What happened to that guy?
See, Law Abiding Citizen wasn't that good.
Yeah, I think he's like taking the Nick Cage acting strategy, and I think that's a bad call.
Or the
quantity over quality here.
He did that like adaptation of Coriolanus. I can't ever say that play. That Shakespeare. They did him and Ray Fiennes did like the modern sort of modern day weird adaptation of the Shakespeare play, Coriolanus, and it was interesting and good. I thought.
That's the thing. I'm with you. He's got chops. The guy can act.
And he's pretty easy on the eyes too.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, like he was, I think probably, I'm not going to say he was the best part, but I mean, his introduction to the world, at least to America, was the classic. I mean, the achievement of cinema that was Reign of Fire. I mean, he's amazing in that film, as is everyone. I mean, it's
now first you're gonna knock on Rock and Roll, and now you're gonna rock on Rain of Fire.
I really also like Rain of Fire. I saw the movie for my birthday when it came out. It was amazing, bro.
Rain of Fire is so bad.
That it's good. You get that Matthew McConaughey. You got Christian Bale doing his like strong, silent, sweet guy, and you get Gerard Butler being funny. Like,
I mean, I feel like Gerard Butler, like. Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey had their, you know, each went on to do amazing things and have their renaissance. Where's Gerard Butler's shot? When's he get to make his? I don't know.
Man,
he seems like
Rock and Roll a Reign of Fire. We need some backup here, audience. Adam and I need some backup against Tyler on this one, at least on Rock and Roll. I will give you, when you really look at Reign of Fire, yeah, but it's fun. But Rock and Roll,
it's not a well-made film. Let's not, you know, let's pump the brakes a little bit. It's fun. I enjoy that movie. It's not great. Rock and Rolla, I would say, is at least a well-made movie. It may not be setting anything, you know, it's not groundbreaking, certainly for
Guy Ritchie.
I think that's the biggest.
A less good version of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, but it's still funny and it's still entertaining. I'll take it.
I think that's the biggest problem with it. It's like, Guy Ritchie, you already like nailed this genre with. I mean, you did okay with Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. You nailed it with Snatch. Like, go make something else. Stop making that same fucking movie over and over again.
Well, he's going to, and then after that he made King Arthur. So maybe stick to what you're
Sherlock. The Sherlock movies were okay. They're not great, but they're fun.
They were super successful. Unfortunately, Sherlock 2 left us Lobo-less, so we didn't get a Lobo movie from him. But I mean, rock and roll it. Look at it. Gerard Butler, Tom Wilkinson, Mark Strong, Idris Elba, Tom Hardy, Jeremy Piven, Ludacris.
I'm not saying it doesn't have good people. I'm saying that it's not a very good movie.
You have a fantastic cast, acting great. And I mean, Gerard Butler and Idris Elba as the partners, it's just fantastic. Tom Wilkinson plays a great.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it does.
It totally does, man. I love rock and roll.
It's unbelievable that you don't like this movie, Tyler.
And it's got a fantastic soundtrack too to back it up. And man, Tom Hardy's almost unrecognizable in it, which is, you can actually say that for like a stretch of movies there.
I don't know if that's, he's very much Tom Hardy in that movie.
He looks like completely
different. That's the one where he looks most like Tom Hardy.
Okay. Well, he's unrecognizable in the other movies around Rock and Rolla. That made it be like, oh, wait a second. Tom Hardy's in this. But we need some backup, listeners. Rock and Rolla, yay or nay? We need to hear this. I mean, it's already a 2-1 vote here. We're not going to fight Tyler heavy on Reign of Fire, one that's what, twice as old as Rock and Roll, older, but it's also
a pleasure. I'm okay with
it. Yeah, it's a guilty
pleasure. I'm okay with it being a guilty pleasure.
And for some reason, it's missing from my movie shelf. I'm kind of a little upset. I need to figure that out.
So good it's been stolen.
I guess, yeah, Tyler. It's so good that it's just missing from my movie shelf. Somebody thought it was good enough to take it.
Someone was doing you a favor.
Anyways, so before we get too far back on all that, the big topic what brought us down this Gerard Butler just rabbit hole was Geostorm. So Adam, you don't think it's going to make over 10 million. Tyler doesn't think it's going to make over 15 million. Okay, 9.5, 13 for Tyler.
12. I'm saying 12.
12. Okay, I'm going to go 16. I'm going to go 16 on this. I'm going to go big. Going big here. 16 million. So I'm going to go buy like $3 million worth of tickets.
Look, here's the thing.
I think your movie pass is going to do.
We can all say these things. It won't do this. It won't do that. I have lost any and all faith in, you know, the average American. So, I mean, it's mad enough when you guys were going to all the Transformers movies, but it only has gotten worse year by year. So
I was just about to say, we've got like 7 different Transformer sequels now spawning off of the, what, 6th one or 5th one that just came out. So yeah, if Transformers can go that deep into a franchise, I mean, don't doubt Geostorm pulling in 60 million. The big thing is we do have a few big weekends behind that. So maybe not a lot of people out. I know around here, it's going to be some nice weather as we get, you know, colder after that. So after that, the weekend after that, you get your Jigsaw. And then of course the weekend after that, Thor. So a couple big weekends that might take away from this weekend upcoming. I wouldn't be surprised to see Happy Death Day winning the box office again this weekend. But we will find out for sure on Sunday night, I guess. So with that, the box office, talking a little bit about that, brings up some trailers, which Adam and I were totally, while we were waiting on Tyler before this, that Black Panther trailer. So a few new trailers dropped this week. Black Panther trailler, I think, has been like the most, we've had some good trailers lately too. We've had some good trailers. This trailer is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I was already pretty fucking hyped, but it was a really good trailer. It's a really good trailer.
Yeah, I mean, I watched this one because, like I told you, Iggy, you know, the teaser, I'm going to go see it. I like what Marvel, all the stuff Marvel's been doing recently, so I'm on board already. But I decided I'd watch the trailer because I wanted to know, you know, I don't know this character very well, not having read any comics for all intents and purposes. So wanted to get a little bit more, see what was going on. And man, it looks really, really, really good. Like the blend of, I guess, I mean, sci-fi for lack of a better word and action and just kind of everything that you get with that is, I don't know. It's got me very excited. I mean, so what is it? February? We got to wait till February?
Yeah, we got
a
ways to go.
Well, at least I know what I'm doing for Valentine's Day. I'm going to go see Black Panther.
That looks real good. And I don't know if you knew this or not, because I don't know if the because I know you say you don't know a lot about the character, and I don't know if the trailer made it clear enough, but he really, really likes to jump to and from the tops of cars. That is a thing that he is fantastic at.
Well, that was one of the things that I knew about him, because I saw Civil War, and he definitely did that. And I also know that he is very fast. I've seen him run. He's quite an athletic individual. So it's exciting. I mean, it looks really good, and I really, really like Michael B. Jordan. So the seeing him in there, and the I don't know, aesthetic's not right, the way he carries himself in that role, I think is going to be very good.
I love Michael B. Jordan so much, and I love everything he's ever done, but it's so hard for me to see him on screen in anything as he's gotten older, gotten cut up for some roles. I just see him, and all I can say is, where's Wallace? Where's Wallace, man? But he looks really good. Also, let's talk for just a second about the most important thing about this. Is while we weren't looking, Angela Bassett is almost 60 years old and looks exactly the same today as she did like 30 years ago. I feel like that's an important thing to point out. Wow. Well done, Angela Bassett.
She's taking care of herself. But another big thing. Okay, so with the trailer reveal came the big cast poster reveal, which the internet took by storm and was super excited because they were pointing out that the only two white people on the poster are Bilbo and Gollum from the Lord of the Rings Hobbit franchise, though. So, and it's fantastic because, of course, the play on words, they're the Tolkien white guys. So for the movie, but yeah, the cast is huge, looks fantastic. Yeah, Michael B. Jordan really introduced in trailer, because in teaser trailer, I don't think did we even get any of them. And super exciting. You get a lot more of Chadwick. Looks great. And gosh, I just don't know. This cast looks fantastic. The music in the trailer, I don't know if that's going to carry over to the actual soundtrack, but we were talking about that before we started recording. Yeah, you said it, the mix of sci-fi with action, with everything. It just, man. But for me, it was the same thing with the Star Wars trailer. I saw it drop. People were going crazy about it on the internet. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. I lasted maybe an hour again. So I have found that I have no ability to say no to the trailers that are dropping right now. So I may just play it as soon as I see it. So
I'll be real. I waited until today and I watched it over my lunch break so that I would be able to talk about it. And then after I watched it, I was like, God, I'm really glad I watched it. That looks really good.
Yeah. I feel like it didn't give us too much either. Like you don't know, you know, obviously we know that we're going to see a lot of him adapting to becoming a king. And of course, Black Panther, because whoever the king was, like his dad was Black Panther before him, and he's had the role for a little bit now, which was made clear, like I said, in Civil War, he was already Black Panther. So it's going to be interesting to see him adapting to having that responsibility now mixed with running the country, now mixed with everything else. So you get kind of, we've already been introduced to the character enough, but we're still going to get some origin, I think, you know, aspects introduced to this first movie. And I think a lot to offer really with this movie, and it's super cool that it's in February. So we're really, I mean, the movie season just stretches further and further, the blockbuster movie season now. So now it's starting in February next year.
Well, and February has been kind of like that the last few years. Every February has had like that kind of surprise hit. So
thanks, Deadpool.
We're going to try to cash in on that. And the other thing is I'm curious to see how much it does or doesn't tie in, because this is the last movie we get before Infinity War. And this comes out only like 2 months before, because Infinity War is what, May? First week of May? So.
Yeah, it opens May. You know, you got to at least be getting like an after credits or mid-credits scene that has to do with the Avengers. But I feel like somewhere, hopefully there's some tie-ins that close to it. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, let us know what your thoughts are on the new Black Panther trailer. I think I'm going to watch that trailer again after we get done recording. It's just that good. So. Anyways, and if you Google search song featured in, it'll fill out the rest for you in Black Panther trailer. So if you start that Google search, it'll take care of you the rest of the way. You don't have to worry about it. I guess everybody's searching it. But a few other trailers dropped. I think we got some exciting things. A TNT trailer that Tyler kind of pointed us to. So a television show trailer.
So it's called The Alienist. It's based on It's based on a novel, what turned out to end up being a series of novels by Caleb Carr. And I didn't know anything about this until last night. I mean, I knew about the book, but I didn't know anything about the TV show. Cary Fukunaga, the guy who did like True Detective and Beast of No Nation, stuff like that, created it. It's based on these books about an investigation of a string of murders in New York in like the 1890s. Like Teddy Roosevelt's a fairly main character when he was like head of police in New York. But it's going to be on TNT. It's going to run 8 episodes, and it stars Daniel Brühl, Luke Evans, Dakota Fanning, among other people. And it looks really... It's Cary Fukunaga. Honestly, the only thing about it that I'm confused by is the fact that it's on TNT. But I'm yeah, the trailer got me on board, so I'm intrigued.
When you showed us the trailer, I was thinking this is going to be a fantastic suspense thriller that we can see at the theaters maybe next October or this October, because that would seem like it'd be an appropriate thing to do, releasing the movie theaters. But as you mentioned, yeah, it's on TNT, so it'd be interesting to see what they can do. I know cable television has become a lot more liberal in some of the content they share, but it'll be interesting to see what restrictions that keeps on the television show.
Well, I think the most interesting thing is that this is on, you know, not AMC, which has been, you know, doing some pretty good shows for a while now, or, you know, any of the paid channels like HBO or Showtime that have been winning awards and that kind of stuff. But, you know, I feel like TNT hasn't had anything that has blown people away in quite a while. What I remember watching on TNT was like reruns of other shows.
Yeah, I mean, they had some shows that had legs there for a while. They had a little renaissance there, things like Leverage and The Closer and some other stuff. They had that Librarians TV. They had the Librarian TV.
Oh, movie. The Librarians was that?
Well, the Librarians was like, yeah, it was that. Oh, was the TV. Well, it was the TV. Was it? Who?
I don't remember.
I think I'm almost sure TNT was the Librarians, like the movies with Noah Wyle, and then they went on and did the TV show might not have been on TV. TNT. I honestly don't know, but I know the TV movies were. But I don't know. Turner Broadcasting doesn't really have, I mean, to be fair, they don't really own any channels. The only thing that Turner owns that I think people know for original programming is Cartoon Network. Because every other channel they have is either like a CNN or a Headline News or a TCM, like Turner Classic Movies or Boomerang, True TV. I think TBS is nothing but reruns. Like, I honestly don't know what I can't think of, other than Cartoon Network, I can't think of anything Turner owns TV wise that's ever really been big on original programming other than TNT. I don't know.
Well, TBS has kind of jumped into the late night programming game with the talk shows. So I know with Conan O'Brien, and then they have a show that follows that too. I guess that's, I don't know anything about it, but a couple of the late night talk shows as well. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Librarians was TNT too. We all have computers in front of us, but I'm just going to go on a hunch and say that I'm backing you up on this. So anyways, with that, some interesting trailers dropped, as well as some new movie news. We finally got the title to the Han Solo standalone film, which the internet's pretty upset about, and I don't understand. It's a pretty straightforward, easy title. It's called Solo, A Star Wars Story. So we kind of figured the A Star Wars Story was going to be introduced. That's what... we got that with the last one. So I don't know. What do you guys think about Solo being the title?
It's funny. I haven't seen so much, you know, anger as just ridicule. Like, oh, this is, you have, you know, all of the Disney marketing department and all we come up with is Solo. Like, and the thing I found that like funniest is I think Rogue One would have been actually a really good movie for us, or a really good title for a Han Solo, like, standalone movie. And so people were talking about how they could have done that. And, you know, that would have been at least more clever because he's, you know, he's roguish and that kind of thing. So I don't have any, there's certainly no problem with it. I would have liked something maybe a little funnier, a little catchier, but it is, you know, it's Solo, so that works.
Yeah, I don't have any strong feelings. I don't know. I mean, I can't come up with a better title. Like, I don't know what else you would call it. I feel like it's a movie about one guy. Just name it after the guy and go with that. Like, I honestly, I mean, I don't know what else you call it that doesn't come off as, I don't know, kitschy. I think Solo's about as good as you're going to get. Or call it Han, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if I was to guess the title before they announced one, I would have said call it Han Solo or Solo or something like that. Like, yeah, the name seems the obvious way to go. I know it's not super catchy or creative, but I don't see a problem with it personally. But the internet, as it likes to do, has some issues with it. So interesting. Anyway, so Solo, a Star Wars story, will be out next year. Of course, we have episode 8 before that, so we're all looking forward to that. Adam, did you get your Thursday night tickets yet?
Nope. I haven't bought tickets yet.
All right. Just curious if you got your Thursday night ones yet.
I did one of the two things I was supposed to do. You guys are going to have to deal with it.
So, perfect. With that, I know there was also some talk around the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So, James Gunn really wants to focus. We're going to have more Guardians of the Galaxy movies, which I think was obvious anyways. This success of the first two has been huge. But he did a QA session on Facebook and indicated that he wanted to really look at that original Guardians lineup that he kind of introduced late. And you saw some of them with Stallone coming in and playing, but you got introduced to the original Guardians team late, but they killed off Yondu. Spoiler alerts, by the way. So I don't know. It seems like he wants to explore the old team. Like, I think it'd be cool if we saw like a prequel or an origin movie with that team and brought Yondu back. That would make all the fans happy, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it seems like you say it would make all the fans happy. I bet you get as much outrage about that as you do about Solo, the Han Solo movie being named Solo, though. Like, oh, it's just a cash grab. They're just going to go back in time to show us, to make us spend more money or whatever. So there'd be plenty of people upset about it, I don't doubt, but I'm okay with it. I'd also be okay with it being like a, and you know, this may even piss off more people, but bouncing back and forth between like mirroring the creation story with a story going on with the current Guardians. I'd like to see, as someone who, again, hasn't read the comic books, like to see more of where that name came from, who kind of coined it and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it was, the cast was, it wasn't like just some extra actors or anything. Like we said, Stallone was in there, but the rest of the team was rounded out, of course, by Miley Cyrus, Ving Rhames, Michael Rosenbaum, Michelle Yao, and then obviously Yondu, who was huge with Michael Rooker through the first two movies. So that would be the original team that they were alluding to towards the end of the second film. So you got, I don't know about Miley Cyrus acting, but at least the rest, you've got some acting chops there. So be interesting to see what they could do with that. So I don't know. Obviously too, James Gunn loves to throw his ideas out there and sometimes they, amount to nothing, cause he can only have so much control or power, especially when you're playing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They have a pretty tight grip on all that stuff. So, all right. So we've passed the halfway point. Any other quick topics we want to cover before we start running into some Blade Runner spoilers here?
Two things. One is we didn't touch on the other new trailer this week. We got the New Mutants trailer finally, which looks real interesting, like an X-Men horror movie with kids. I'm on board. Like, I don't know. I mean, New Mutants is a really I was never really big into the X-Men comics, but New Mutants was always a fun series for me, and I think that it looks like it could be interesting. Other thing that came out today, someone just shared with me, is there is a trailer out there that just came out today for this movie that is indeed real and was indeed made on purpose, called Snake Out of Compton.
Snake Out of Compton. Okay. Premise, please.
I don't really know the premise yet.
Okay.
But No. I mean, I do, but I don't know how to do it without making it sound super strange. So let me just show you.
It already sounds super strange, so.
Let me just show you this movie poster.
Yes. Okay. Snake Out of Compton.
What in the hell?
I don't even know what to say here, really, to be honest.
The true story of the world's most dangerous spoof. Oh my gosh. So it's,
yeah, I honestly don't even know.
There's a trailer for it too.
There is a trailer.
Is that a 3-minute trailer? Good night.
There's a really big snake, some jets.
See some fighter jets, a lot of action, people ducking and for their lives. Oh, was that a lowrider bicycle there?
It's a nerdy. There's a nerdy guy.
24 hours earlier.
Zapping a snake with some Honey, I Shrunk the Kids thing in his.
All right. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, I guess. Oh, it was
a giant snake. Was huge. Yeah. So this is fantastic. So if you watch one trailer this week, make sure it's Snake Out of Compton. But if you watch two trailers, I guess obviously Black Panther, but three trailers, I'm glad you brought it up, Tyler. I almost forgot about the New Mutants trailer did drop. And it was super cool to see the X-Men universe, and so not necessarily the Marvel universe, obviously the Fox-controlled one, trying to do something a little different with, like, looks very like horror suspense, really, for this movie. So very different direction than what we've seen so far, especially in the X-Men franchise.
I think it could work. I mean, the idea that there are people with uncontrollable powers kind of ran the first X-Men run, that first, you know, go back and watch the original X-Men, and that really is the kind of the crux behind it. And so I think it could lend very well to a horror movie, or certainly more suspenseful movie anyway.
Well, Fox is the one who pushed the boundaries with the rated R-ness. You got Deadpool and Logan, which worked super successful. And so, I mean, they're trying some different things. And I think, yeah, like you said, what you have there, it could work. And you could also bring in a new audience that may have not gone and seen it if it was just another mutant, Marvel's mutant movie. So be interesting to see what happens with it. But definitely the trailer is pretty intense and has a lot of like horror thriller elements to it. So check it out. So yeah, three important trailers we covered. So I need to watch that Snake Out of Compton one as soon as we're done recording. When I look for my Reign of Fire Blu-ray. So, all right. Are we ready for it, guys? Are we ready? We're a week removed, week and a half removed from release, 2 weeks, I guess, by time this airs. And we're warning you right now, we're going to discuss some spoilers for Blade Runner 2049. So Blade Runner, significant sci-fi movie. If you've listened to us over the years, you've heard all of us, especially Adam and Tyler, gush over the original Blade Runner movie. We definitely talk about it as one of, you know, two or three significant sci-fi features that you have to see at some point in your life if you haven't seen it, as well as heavily influencing other movies. And then, what are we, 35 years later, we get the sequel, the long-awaited sequel, to which Tyler and I both shared last week, felt was just a fantastic sequel. It, you know, was great. So Adam, before we dive too deep, we want to know, what are your thoughts? We haven't heard too much on your thoughts yet. You've been holding your cards tight.
Man, it was, you know, it's really, really good, to the point of, you know, leaving the movie theater. It was, you know, the wife and I were driving home, and it was hard really to pin down, like, right after having watched it, because it's just from, we saw it in the XD screen at the Cinemark here in town. So it's a giant screen, and it's got ridiculous surround sound. So it was overwhelming almost at times. Like, it was just really, really good and very, I still have a hard time, as you guys can tell, like, putting it into words really, but I mean, it was almost tactile is how it felt. Like, it was more than, you know, just like experiencing it, like watching them in, you know, a lot of movies. And there's a lot going on. The sound is really good. The cinematography is quite phenomenal. The use of color, use of framing, like all sorts of stuff is really, really good. But they did a lot of things that harken back to the original, I think. And that to me is important when you're doing a movie, is not just paying it, you know, lip service, I guess, in terms of like gentle nods or like overt nods back to the original, but little things like, you know, when it's scenes that feel like they're from the original, and scenes that remind but don't necessarily be like, hey, this is the exact same thing as before. No, I didn't see any of those, or nothing jumped out at me that way. Like, sometimes when you get a movie that is part of a series but comes out much later, like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls, there's so much that's just like, oh, that's that same warehouse from one of the earlier ones. I get it. Okay. It's like the same thing. It's the same thing. I get that. There was nothing like that here. It wasn't tug in cheek about anything. It was just, No, these movies exist in the same world, but shit has happened between the two of them, and so things are different, but they're also like, it feels very much just like it's, yeah, obviously that's 30 years later. Like, cool, I get it. That all makes sense. I'm on board. So, yeah, I mean, it was really good. I very much enjoyed it.
Having some more time to think about it since our last conversation, it is one of those things where I didn't point out last week, but now was thinking about it. It's like, it almost gave you that feeling of like, I was young again and watching Blade Runner again. Like, I almost like had that feeling leaving the movie theater. Like, I was like, wow, it just took you back. But how they tied it to the first one with, it was just fantastic. And I think they did a great job of Harrison Ford wasn't in it too much, which was fantastic. I was worried you're going to bring in too much Deckard, but he was in it just enough, I feel like, and it worked very well. And I felt Ryan Gosling's character, the stuff he dealt with, the times he felt he was the one that was supposed to be it. Like, I mean, that whole twist threw me off completely. I'm like, oh, he can't be. Okay. Yeah, he is. Oh, he's not. It's just like hit you. And it's like, it was really, I just really well done. And I felt Ryan Gosling ended up being a fantastic, it felt like Harrison Ford handed a torch to Ryan Gosling, and he only gets the torch for one movie. So obviously we said spoilers. So if you're listening at this point, you've seen it, hopefully. You're pretty much, I guess they don't technically show him dying at the end, but you're pretty much guaranteed that Ryan Gosling's gone at the end. So it's interesting to see, hopefully, I would think this is a great way to end it. It's done good at the box office, but not as big as they were hoping. So I don't know if the studio is going to try to grab on some more sequels or something, but I think it was fantastic end for the first one.
I hope they don't, or if they do go back, that they stick to like other stories in this world or something in the gap between 2019 and 2049. Cause there's really only one story to tell now. And that's the beginning of the replicant like revolution. And I don't see any way that goes well, regardless of who you put in charge of it. I don't think there's a good way to tell that story in this that lives up to these last two, but definitely. I don't know. It's so good.
Yeah, definitely. It sets it up for what the next play is in this universe. Basically it's there's no question on where it's going to go. And I think if you go with that, as you mentioned, revolution, I mean, it's pretty much the only word for it. You're going to get a very different style of movie, a very different tone. And you're also going to be, you're going to deal with, because I feel like Blade Runner, very unique, not I would say uniquely, very delicately, but cleverly touches on some social issues, you could say. And I feel like if you go straight into the revolution, you might lose sight of that delicateness, I guess would be the way to put it, to that touch of it. I don't know if that's making any sense, but yeah, it would be a completely different movie from the first two. And we're bragging on how much 2049 feels like an extension of the first. So
I don't know, anything you didn't like about it, Adam, anything that didn't work for you? How do you feel about Wallace and Leto, whatever?
Perfectly okay. I mean, you know, he's sick. Yeah. It's tough because I think him and his hench lady, I can't remember her name.
Love.
Yeah.
Sylvia Hook.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think they both acted their parts very well. I didn't really overly enjoy either of their characters. And I think Wallace and maybe the way Jared Leto acted him, maybe the way he's written is almost too obscure, like making it cooler because he's obscure. Oh, well, you just don't understand the character. Like, no, I just don't think didn't come off as very believable. I guess, I don't know. I said I didn't have any major problems with it because after watching it, I didn't have any major problems with it. But it seemed like that one character is almost like some of the movies that are just weird for the sake of being weird. and people talk about how it makes them artsy, and you're like, no, it's not an artsy movie. It's not like Rushmore. Like, Rushmore is weird because, you know, but it's artsy at the same time. And then a lot of people made really weird movies and they're like, oh, that's an artsy movie. You're like, no, that movie's just not any good. And it's real weird. That was a thing there for a little while. And I feel like that was Wallace as a character. I think, like I said, I think Leto did a fine job, but that's how that character came off as me, like, just overly pretentious. And maybe that was supposed to be it. And maybe that's how exactly I'm supposed to be feeling about the character, but otherwise I'm okay with everything. But I thought everybody did a really good job. Gosling, fantastic. I think Harrison Ford, he did fantastic. I mean, Deckard's just a really interesting character. And I think Ford back in 1982, like, that incarnation of Harrison Ford is a great person to play that character, and still a great person to play that character now. Like, it's amazing.
I think you could clearly tell, especially there's a couple moments, like you said, he's not in there much, but he has a couple moments, specifically the one where they bring back Rachel, just the stuff going on in his face when he sees her. Like, this is obviously I don't know if the word's the hardest he's worked, but this is definitely the most effort that Harrison Ford's put into a role in quite some time.
Like, he cherished that character.
He's phoned a few in over the last few years, and I feel like this is one of the few where he came to play.
That line, though, her eyes were green, was fantastic. And it was a heavy scene, but yeah, it was great. He does a fantastic job. I like the whole scene with him being introduced in Vegas, and it, you know, especially because you got that feeling that Gosling is his child, or they're definitely leading towards it. So you're, and Gosling thinks it too. So he's asking the questions like he is, and it just really, really sets up quite a dynamic between the two and makes that scene really, really fun, especially when they first get together. Cause it's like when he shoots at him and you're like, he's going to try to kill Ryan Gosling. He's like, don't, you're like, Gosling, tell him you're his kid. So you don't kill him. He doesn't kill you. And then it's pretty fun. I would agree that he does a great job, and definitely I felt like there was a lot more effort here than there was of his Han Solo role in Episode 7. So anyways, and
so two questions for Adam, two final questions for Adam. One, how good is Carla Drury in her one big scene? That might be my favorite scene in the entire movie, the memory doctor.
Very good. So you're talking about the first appearance, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, she has like one line in her second appearance, just the main, right, the first scene with Kay.
Right. The first one's so good because you're watching it, and I mean, and we're spoilers here. So by the end, you realize the emotion that's yanked out of her is because that's her. You know, it's her memory, not that it's a real memory and somebody lived that, and that's touching, like, because that's what you get in that first, you get that in that first scene, the first time you watch it, like, before you know, and it works unbelievably well with that, just that idea that this is such an empathetic person that they can watch somebody else's memory and it touches them, like, to the core, because it obviously did. And then at the end you see it, and, you know, you get that turn where, oh no, shit, that was her memory. And you think back on it, and it's just staring you there. Like I feel like there's just a big neon sign behind her when I think back on it now, where it's like,
yeah,
how the hell did I miss that? Like,
well, and like you say that, like, when I got to the end of the movie, I was like, oh, it makes so much more sense, like, why she's like so worked up about it.
Right.
And then I watched it the second time. And the second time through, I know that it's her memory, and I'm watching her react. And I didn't think that. All I could think of the second one is the way she says, yes, someone lived this, and the way she's crying. All I can think is she's upset because she now knows how much she fucked this guy up by putting this memory in his head and making him think it's real and making him think he's a real person. Like, okay, that was where I read in it. Right. First, yeah. Like, at the end of the first time I see it, I'm like, oh, yeah, it was her memory. That's why she was so worked up. And then the second time I'm watching it and I see her start reacting, I'm like, oh no, she now understands that she messed this guy up in a big, big way, and she's real worked up about it. All right, second question, because Ziggy and I obviously disagreed on this. What did you think of the Joy and Mariette scene? Because I thought it was weird and beautiful and amazing, and he thought it was weird and creepy and gross.
I didn't say it was creepy and gross. I said it was not needed. I don't feel like it was needed to drive the plot of the movie.
Oh no, I think it's a really interesting idea, especially when you're talking about, you know, this overarching idea of technologies, you know, humans' use of technology. Like, it is a, it's a really, really interesting idea that she initiated all of this, not him. Because the idea would be that, you know, oh, well, he's this gross guy and obviously wants to have sex with his robot, like her, the movie Her. But she is the one who's actually wanting to give something to him, to share something with him. And so I think it actually fits really, really well in terms of the, you know, what makes us human kind of background question that's behind all of the Blade Runner movies, and well, the two Blade Runner movies now, but just behind Blade Runner for such a long time. I think it does add something very, very good to the movie. And I think the graphic work to overlay the two, I mean, just the technicality of the scene itself, like whatever it represents can be, that's a whole nother question, but just making that scene, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm like watching it just like slack jawed, not from like arousal, but from like, holy shit, this is something I've never seen before in a movie done like this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, technically it's mesmerizing and beautiful, but I think especially as part of like Joy and Kay's relationship and what is it to be human and that stuff, I thought it was a really important scene too. Like, I feel like it does a lot. It does a lot of heavy lifting with some of the philosophical stuff while also being like technically and visually like pleasing.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Guys, I'm glad that Iggy is wrong. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that.
You're only glad because you were wrong at the beginning of this, knocking on Rock and Roll, Rain of Fire.
No, they're both bad movies. And the sooner you come to terms with that, the better everything will be for you.
All right. So if you haven't seen Blade Runner 2049, you should have not listened to the second half of this episode. If you have, we'd love to hear your opinions. Obviously, if you're sharing in the comments, keep them spoiler free for those that haven't seen it. Or I don't know if there's spoiler filters or anything like that, obviously. But we do, obviously, I want to do a quick shout out. Project Nerd Publishing is no longer. It was acquired by Insane Comics. So keep an eye out for some of our titles hopping over to Insane Comics to be released throughout the new year, 2018. Insane Comics has got a nice reach, shows up at a lot of conventions across the Midwest as well. So a lot of the same avenues you were able to get the titles before, you'll be able to continue to get them. But of course, independently, we are running right now our Kickstarter for The Escort. So The Escort issue number one was released earlier this year. But many people were talking about how they weren't able to get their hands on it because we were only at limited shows with it. So we have put The Escort number one on Kickstarter. So if you go to Kickstarter and search The Escort, I promise you, you'll get appropriate results. And it is our comic book. You can check out the Kickstarter, basically pre-ordering for this run. We have a low bar to hit just so we can get the pre-order done and set up funding to finish 2 and 3. So that way next year we can release them seamlessly through we don't have a contract yet with them set up, but Insane Comics is what we're planning on releasing The Escort through as well as part of that agreement of the Project Nerd Publishing acquisition. So again, kickstarter.com, search The Escort, or even head over to our Project Nerd Facebook page. We've shared the link a few times. You can check it out. About 60% there. So, and I mean, we're still in the first week. Well, I guess by the time this airs, it should be higher and we'll be past the first week, but it's still got a few weeks left to go, and obviously you're not charged until the campaign is done. So go ahead and pledge now and pay later. You know, America runs on credit. So obviously that's a great thing. But we have a few minutes left for our final thoughts here, our exit moments for the week. So Adam, Tyler, what if you want to get us started with a quick thought?
Yeah, I'll jump on that. So let's see, this comes out Friday. Obviously you're probably listening to us on your way to see Geostorm. So enjoy that. Let us know what you think about it afterwards. But if we don't hear from you, know that if you are around Little Rock Saturday, there's a zombie party at the Lost 40 Brewery. Check it out. Get yourself some tickets. come hang out and do some zombie stuff. It's going to be a good time. That's my plan for this weekend. It's getting close to the Halloween, so zombies and parties are cropping up all over the place. Otherwise, I'm really looking forward to, not this weekend, but next weekend. So I'll probably talk about it next week too. Assassin's Creed Origins is coming out. So that's really all I got going on right now. Just waiting for that.
I'm trying to think if there's anything. I don't know.
Right now, first, you got to tell us what book you're reading.
I'm not reading anything right now. I'm getting ready to. I know. I was rereading some Discworld books recently. Just like I got bored, and like anytime I need some, just like some comfort food of a book, I'll just pick up an old Discworld book and reread it. So I was rereading some of those. I've been waiting on a lot of books to come out. Primarily in November, I get the third book of the Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson, Oathbringer. I'm looking really forward to that. I'm trying to think what else is coming up book-wise that I'm looking for. I mean, I get the new Red Rising book in January. I tell you what, I do have two books on my shelf that I need to read. The Blacks Gladstone's book, the Craft Sequence. I have not read the newest one of those, and it's supposed to be fantastic. I have it. I've purchased it. It's on my Kindle. I just haven't had a chance to read it. If you haven't read those, they're fantastic books. They start with Three Parts Dead by Max Gladstone, the Craft Sequence. You can pick up the first one on – actually, you can pick up the first five. One, two, three, four, five. I think Three Parts, Two Serpents, Rise, Full Fathom. You can pick up the first five on Amazon for the Kindle for $12 right now, or if you just want the first one to try it out, $2.99 on Kindle. I think $10.99 for – or $10 for paperback, but they're really fun books. I enjoyed them a great deal, so check those out. And still playing Destiny 2. Not as much, but a little bit. Did some Iron Banner. That was fun.
Have you gotten through the raid yet?
I haven't even tried the raid yet. I haven't ever even entered the raid with anyone, so.
I was going to try to get you in the other day. My buddies and I were running, and we needed a sixth. And by the time we got our crap together and I turned around to see you had signed offline, I was like, oh, well.
Yeah, depending on what it is, just send me a text sometime or a Facebook message. I'll get on and do it if I'm around. Nice.
Okay, cool.
So this month, Netflix picked up a new original series, which they seem to be picking up a lot of them lately. So this one's interesting, though, because it couple years ago, Dennis Liu reached out to us and asked us to review his first issue of Raising Dion. Ann Yank has checked it out for us, and a couple of us read it because it is available still for free on his website to check out. And it was a really interesting concept of a comic. We exchanged some emails, were able to chat with Dennis as well, and super nice guy, really cool, really creative. And the concept is Raising Dion is basically it's following a young woman whose husband has passed away. She's raising her 7-year-old son, Dion, and he has superpowers. So she's basically raising a superhero and a lot of pressure on her to, you know, raise him right, keep him protected and everything like that. Michael B. Jordan, who we brought up earlier, actually is the one who has helped greenlight this series. So it will be premiering on Netflix sometime next year. But before you check it out on Netflix, there's a really cool video, which is not the trailer. So I got to stress because people are calling it the trailer for Netflix. It is not the trailer for Netflix. It is a video that Dennis Liu and his crew put together. Really cool like video introducing the comic. And then, of course, as I said, the first issue is available for free on his website. Check it out. And, of course, you can head over to projectnerd.com, search for Raising Dion in our search bar, and you'll find that review for number one and read the thoughts that Ann had on it. And just pretty cool to see something that creative and a person that we have kind of met through Project Nerd get a green light on Netflix there. I'm really interested to see what they can do with that series because it's a really awesome concept, something really different. When he introduced us to that comic, we were like, wow, how come we haven't seen anything like this? It's a really good idea. So check that out. Again, let us know your thoughts on, obviously, Rocket Rolla, but more importantly, Geostorm and Blade Runner and the many other things we talked about, the Black Panther trailer. Other things. Head on over to our Kickstarter, check us out, read some of the books, and play Destiny 2 with these guys. Until next time, same nerd time, same nerd channel. We'll catch you next week.